All right, man, welcome to our Family Matters series. Super excited that you're here today, and maybe you're a guest with us and you haven't joined us in this series yet. You haven't been a part of this. I just want to say welcome, Easter Sunday. This is the greatest day to be here. And you guys did an amazing job of inviting people, inviting family, inviting friends, inviting guests. Thank you so much. This will be our largest attendance ever, so give yourself a hand. But as we talk about family matters and what it means to the family and we conclude our series, I believe that God's going to show up for you today. Whether you are a part of this series or you just came today, God has something amazing for us, and we're going to study the life of Joseph. If you remember the life of Joseph, we're going to look at his life. We're going to look at how he's a type of Christ, how there's different parallels for us that I think are going to be so applicable. And at the end of today's sermon, I hope that we would understand that we would be a people who are ready for redemption. Everybody say, I'm ready for redemption. Let's be a people who are ready for redemption. This is my hope. This is my prayer. And if you would, and if you're able, would you stand with me as we read and honor God's word this morning? Genesis chapter 50. This is the back end of the story that we'll go through, the narrative. And it says in verse 19, it says, but Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we love you. Jesus, we're so grateful for today, for Redemption Sunday. Not just resurrection, but redemption. You rose from the dead to redeem a lost people, and we're so grateful. Lord Jesus, as you come today, Lord Jesus, would you make Genesis chapter 50 and this narrative applicable to us? Would you open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our heart to love and glorify you in a great way? We're so thankful for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five, and then you may have a seat. Jesus loves family. Would you agree with that? Jesus loves family. Family matters. It's why you invited your siblings. It's why you brought your children this morning, because God loves family. In fact, it was his whole idea of family from the very beginning, from the Trinity, as we see the perfect love exchange between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when he created humanity, he displayed to them a great love and put them in a community with one another. So our hope for this, for today, is that we would be a diverse people to see that from the very beginning, the story of God, which is the Bible, has always been about family. And what I love about the Bible is the Bible doesn't hide or shy away from the wickedness of man and our mistakes. How many of you know when you read the Old Testament, you realize that there's a bunch of jacked up people in there? I mean, you just read that with your friends, you open it up, you start reading, you're like, man, this is messed up. There's a lot of evil that happens. There's certain murders that happen, adultery happens, all sorts of evil happens within the Old Testament. And I'm thankful that God didn't give us a book that was some sort of fairy tale, but he made known the condition of our hearts. And that's revealed over the 6,000 years as this is penned and written, is how evil we are. I want to tell you, man, I am jacked up. Now, you may not know this, but just ask Brandy. I have a lot of flaws, believe it or not. And some of them I try to hide. I try to fake it till I make it. You know, I try to put my best foot forward. This morning, one of our microphones wasn't working. And I talked to Chris, our sound man. I go, man, our microphone's not working. Somebody broke it, man. They just jacked it up. It's messed up. And then all of a sudden, I took what was an amazing Sunday into a dark moment. You ever take like little moments and start being the victim of that moment? Woe is me. It must be Tori and the worship team plotting against me, sabotaging, this microphone. That must be what's happening right here. That must be what's going on. And you know, we all go to dark places quick. And this is just a condition of humanity, is that we go into evil places so quickly, and we looked at the evilness that Adam and Eve stepped into. We looked at other characters. What's interesting of this typology with Joseph actually, we don't see anything evil that he necessarily did, but the evil that was done to him. In fact, doesn't that mirror Resurrection Sunday, that we have a Savior and we don't see any evil that he did, but we see the evil that happened to him? And so this is what we have. It's Romans 8:28, though. We read that we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. We know even though there's evil, even though there's messed up people, even though I'm jacked up and you can ask Brandy, and even though I fall short and I'm blaming everybody for a bad microphone, even though those moments happen, we know that God is going to purpose his will, and he's going to cause all these moments to work out for good. Do you believe that? I want to look at the narrative of Joseph, and if we were back up chapter 37, and there's no way we're going to go through this entirety of this narrative this morning. But we look at Joseph, and Joseph would be known as the dreamer. You see, the dreamer, God showed up to him and gave him a dream. And I would liken this dream to a promise, that Joseph got the promise that was going to be forwarded to him in his life. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 through 7, it says this: "Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, 'Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf.'" All of a sudden, he was telling them this dream. Could you imagine just being on the other end of this dream, where your brother, your sister, they come up to you and tell you how great they're going to be and how you'll bow down to them? A lot of us would be pretty frustrated with that, wouldn't we? Be like, who are you to have such a dream, to have such a purpose, and what is that all about? You know, it's interesting on this Sunday, as we look at Jesus 2,000 years ago, and as he was living this life, he came to declare a purpose for humanity. He came to give, the dream was told over years, and he came to fulfill this dream. But it was when people heard this dream, they didn't like it so much. Oh, what a carpenter is going to fulfill such a dream? Oh, what good comes from Nazareth? I've never met a good Nazarene. How could anything significant come from that? And so as a result, on the Good Friday that happened 2 days ago, 2,000 years ago, it was envy that came inside of the Pharisees, and they envied him because of the purpose or the dream that he was declaring on the earth. As he was speaking, they envied it, and it was out of their envy that sent Jesus to the cross. It was out of that moment, said, "Who is this?" And this is what happens a lot of times to us as we live this life, and you're living it towards Jesus, and you're living it out, and the dreams are birthed inside you, the purpose is birthed inside of you, and you're declaring. There are some people who try to keep you down. There's some people who don't want you to get ahead. There's some people who are dream killers. In fact, that's what happened, is the pit. As Joseph was declaring this and speaking it, in Genesis chapter 37, verse 23 and 24, it says this: "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it." Now, to back up a little, we see Joseph was one of the favorite sons of his father. And he was the son of Jacob and Rebekah. And in this, Jacob and Rebekah, right? Okay, somebody help me. And as we see this, and we see this moment, he bestowed upon him a coat of many colors. He bestowed upon him this moment of favor. This tunic that he wore had many colors, and it was in this moment that his brothers started getting jealous of him. And when they got jealous, they decided to rip the cloak off of him and throw him in the pit. This is a pit moment where he is declothed. And I want to tell you that oftentimes we find ourselves in pits, situations, struggles, moments that try to declothe or derobe you of who Christ has called you to be. As you are favored by God, God's chosen and created, as he has great plans for you, there's this moment where somebody's trying to declothe you of what God has for you. And this is what happened in this moment with Joseph, but we also see this typology of this moment of Jesus in John 19:23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. It was this moment of betrayal, this moment of envy, that they rip Jesus of his cloak, of his coat, of this moment. And it was this moment that Jesus was going to be crucified, and he was being stripped of the things that he wore. See, when you're in the pit, there's people, the enemy would come to declothe you, but you also, there's this moment of being devalued, where you're trying to mess with your worth, trying to mess with who you are. You see, when you're in this moment of purpose, when you're in this moment of dreaming, when God has spoken to you, there is an enemy, there is this moment coming against you to devalue that you're unworthy. How many of you have maybe felt some unworthiness? You've been walking in a place of where people are out to against you, be against you. Maybe you're out against yourself. You stepped into some things and you found yourself in a pit this morning, and maybe it wasn't somebody who threw you in the pit, but maybe you put yourself in there by the things that you dabbled in, the addiction that you can't break, the thing that you keep running back to, this moment of constantly want affirmation from your peer circles and your peer groups, and you find yourself losing your value, so you try to prop yourself up, but you find yourself constantly coming and being attacked against, devalued. Joseph, not only was he stripped and thrown in a pit, but then they removed him from the pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And if you remember Ishmael, and what happened there is this was one of those who wasn't in the bloodline of Jesus. And they sold Joseph into slavery. His value wasn't even valued enough to be in his family lineage, but they sold him to another lineage, to another place. He was devalued, and then there was despair that hit him. Despair. You can imagine he was in this moment in the pit, he was in this moment of being sold, and then he started working as to the Lord, and he was starting to do things and make a way and starting to get ahead. And in Potiphar's house, he was highly favored, and he had all these moments where they were speaking life over him, and he was getting elevation and getting authority. But then what? An accusation against Joseph. An untrue accusation against Joseph came against him. Can you only imagine starting over and over and over again? Where you start and you think you're doing well, but then all of a sudden something comes against you, an unfair accusation, an unfair business partner, an unfair moment in your marriage, and you get accused, and you move into a place where now he's thrown in prison. And despair settles in. You see, in our pits, sometimes we find ourselves where we're despaired, where we don't feel valued. We find ourselves when we're in this place of trying to do well, all of a sudden we're hit with some sort of disease. We're hit with some sort of unemployment, termination papers. We're hit with some moments in our family and some relationships, and we find ourselves being discouraged. But I want to tell you what we look at in Joseph's life and what we can apply today is there's patience in the moments that you're in the pit. Patience in the moment of the pit is what sees you through and will get you to the other side. How many of you know we got to be patient? It's amazing. We celebrate this moment. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. Do you realize how long the humanity was waiting for the Christ? 6,000 years they were waiting for him. He finally comes, and then only to be crucified, buried. Can you imagine losing the Savior, and he's buried in the tomb, and the patience it took as he was in the pit, as he was betrayed? There's a patience that takes place, a patience that we need, a patience that Joseph needed. In Genesis chapter 39, 21 through 23 says this, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. In this moment of wherever you find yourself in life, whatever difficulty you have, whatever challenges faced with you, there's a moment to hold to the Lord and be patient and not forget your first love. Everything in the world would say, lose your tunic. Lose who God is. Lose his faithfulness. Lose all that stuff and remain and sell out. But remaining patient, being steadfast, moved this place where Joseph now found himself rising up, finding favor, and eventually the promotion came. The promotion for Joseph in Genesis 41, 39 through 40 says this. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to the throne will I be greater than you. You see, as God gives promise, as he gives dream, as he starts birthing this, sometimes we have setbacks. Sometimes we find ourselves in a pit. Sometimes we find ourselves with struggle. Anybody have some struggle in here this morning? Sometimes we have difficulty. Sometimes there's challenges we face. But I'm going to tell you, be faithful, be patient, because God is going to promote you to the purposes he has for you. Oh, you may not be the king of Egypt. You may not be a second hand. You may not be in this certain place, but God has purposed you for where he's placed you, and he's going to give you everything that you need. Remain patient. Tell your neighbor, remain patient. Remain patient. We need to remain patient and steadfast because we know that God is not a man that he should lie. That God called you and saw you. God saw our mess and he said, I can work with a mess. God saw our situation and said, I can redeem that situation and I can move you to where I want you to go. Inside of this Embassy Suites landmark, there are hundreds of people, all of you uniquely designed by God. The Creator would say that he knows every hair on your head, which means that you are intricately made. He knows your DNA strand. There is none like it. He knows who you are. He's called you by name, and he's put inside of you the things that you need for the purpose that he's calling you to. The dream that he's put in our hearts, the dream that he gave, he's going to fulfill by giving you the exact spiritual gifts you need, the exact temperament, everything that you need. And I'm going to tell you, it goes back to a pit moment. When you're in the pit and you feel like you're down, you feel like, man, why did God make me like this? Why am I like this? Why am I 5'7" and my best friend 6 foot? You know? Why this? Why this situation? Why do your children have special needs? Why that disease? Why that failed business? Why that moment? And I'm going to tell you, in your why, in your why, be patient and steadfast, because God knew exactly what he was doing with you. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, reminds us that God knows exactly what he's doing with you. When he made a promise, he was good on his promise. You see, the reason that you're promoted for purpose. The purpose in your life. And sometimes we like to compare our purpose to somebody else's purpose. What's their purpose? I want that one. I want to sing like Rob. I want to do things like that. I want that to be my purpose. I'm telling you, when we start comparing, it's like throwing yourself in the pit again. But Jesus, he was faithful in his pit. He didn't compromise. He was patient in that moment. He believed that God was going to promote him, and he did. And he promoted him all the way to a cross, to hang on a tree, to pay for our debt that we owe God so that we could be free. And when he gave his life, he was buried. 3 days he remained dead. But on the third day, what happened? Resurrection Sunday. He rose from the grave, proving that the promotion is good and forever. Proving that I'm going to sit on this promotion day. The purpose of Jesus was to glorify the Father. The purpose of Jesus was to please his Father. And the purpose had a byproduct of you and me being redeemed. Redemption Sunday is being redeemed in the purpose of Christ, of what he's done for us. This is the purpose. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 and 20. A few verses before this, we see that Joseph's family is totally redeemed. He's promoted and he saves his bloodline, and his whole family comes in and they receive provision in the famine. They receive substance in the moment that they were hungry, and they are provided for. And a lot of times these brothers are like, man, he's doing that because our father's still alive. You ever have somebody in your family, a patriarch, a matriarch, or somebody in your family, and you behave just because they're alive? But then they pass away, and then all of a sudden what happens to the family? Whoosh, gets messy. All of a sudden they're fighting. There's bickering. They're going after resources. They're doing certain things. And so you could imagine these brothers who threw them in a pit, then sold them to slavery, and then moved on with their lives without him. You can imagine in this moment when they are redeemed and Joseph's there, this is his great moment for vengeance. This is the moment that my brothers are going to pay. I've just been waiting for my father to go on so that I can get even. And I want to tell you that God is not a get even God. And Joseph makes a declaration to his brothers that we need to hear in Genesis 50 that we read in verse 19 and 20. But Joseph said to them, do not fear. Everybody say, do not fear. For am I in the place of God? See, Joseph remained faithful, steadfast, saw God in every situation. He realized when he thought he was in control, he wasn't in control. When he thought he could figure out life, he wasn't the figurer of life out. It's not a word. Jacked up. But in this moment, said he fears God. He loves God. God is sovereign over his life. God's the one who gave the dream. God's the one who fulfilled the dream. God's the one who purposed him. And then he says in verse 20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. That the enemy and people may mean evil over you, but God is going to redeem that which is evil and work it all for good for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's going to work your bad into good. He's going to work your imperfections to perfection. He's going to work your shortcomings and your sin and your bitterness and your unforgiveness. He's going to work it out, and he's going to start releasing that because he's driving you to your purpose to know him, to love him, to be known by him, to hold on to him. God didn't give evil. He gave good. And he actually gave his best. Romans 12, 19 through 21. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Your purpose is to hold on to Jesus, who overcame all of evil, absorbed it on the cross, to redeem you, to be a people chosen for the good works of Christ Jesus. For good works. You were chosen for good works. You feel unworthy today? God's making you good. You feel undervalued? God's giving you value. You feel discouraged? He's going to lift your head up. This is what God does. This is what he did. And it's because of Resurrection Sunday. When he sent Jesus, he sent redemption. Jesus modeled this, of course, better than any man could ever. He said this, Father, forgive them, when he was hanging on the cross. In Luke 23, 34, for they know not what they do. For they know not what they do. Maybe you came this morning, you find yourself in a pit. You find yourself with despair, undervalued. You find yourself declothed. You felt like you knew Christ, but you don't know him anymore. It's like somebody ripped your tunic off and you're just going through the motions. Maybe you're in that situation. I want to tell you there's hope today. Or maybe you came today and you aren't in the pit, but you keep pitting others. You keep putting other people in that situation. You keep persecuting others. You keep devaluing others. I want to tell you that there's mercy today. There's mercy for Joseph's brothers. There was mercy for Joseph. There's mercy for us. If you would, bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning in a posture of receiving. While we were in our filth, a sinner, Christ died for us. Resurrection Sunday is a day of salvation. A day where you can be saved and rescued from your pit. The Bible would say in Romans 10, 9, to be rescued from your pit, you must first admit that you're in the pit. And there's no way out. In fact, your striving just keeps making it worse. Admit that you're a sinner, but believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the great rescuer. He came to save you. He came to redeem you. His arm is not too short to pull you out of the pits. And then lastly, see, confess Jesus as Lord of your life. And the Bible says you do that, you will be saved. I'm going to ask you a question. If there's anybody who doesn't know this Jesus, you feel like you're in this situation, but you want to meet him today, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to pray that Jesus would come, that you would receive him, and that he would be your Savior and your King. As you confess that, I agree with you. Father, thank you for who you are. Jesus, thank you for saving us, for rescuing us. Jesus, today we give our life to you this Resurrection Sunday. We admit that we're sinners. We believe in our heart that you are Lord. We confess it with our mouth. Jesus, come and save. And Father, maybe someone is just, it's not a salvation issue, it's just despair, devalued, feeling moments of pain and hurt, affliction and infirmity. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you heal? Would you touch? Would you move? In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Would you stand with me as we prepare our